I want to thank the elders and the brethren here, Jerry, for inviting me to come. I came into town last Saturday afternoon and checked into the motel, and then I called the church building to find out where it was, and the lady that answered the phone told me I just went down the feeder road to Wildcat Drive. And then she said, hang a right and just boogie right on down. You know, I never was too good at boogieing. But anyway, I got here. And I have really enjoyed being here. It's always wonderful to be with brethren. It's tragic that we have the problems that we do in the church today. Used to, we would fight the denominations, try to correct their errors. But now these denominational errors are in the church. Peter, in referring to difficult passages that a person may encounter in his study of the scripture, noted in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16 that there are some things that are hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. And then in the next verse, he warned us, ye therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware lest being carried away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. There are places in the word that are difficult to be understood. There are some passages that seem to contradict other passages. But verse 17 here that we just read implies that we are to be aware of how the wicked are going to manipulate such passages to achieve their own ends. And we must not allow them to destroy our faith in the divine word. Men have always twisted the word of God to make it mean what they want it to mean. It takes a very honest person, a very open mind, for us to look at the scriptures just as they are and to form our doctrines based on what they truly teach instead of what we might want them to teach. Other people lacking faith and in the veracity and the plenary verbal inspiration of the scriptures believe that the Bible simply cannot be trusted. And I feel sorry for people like that. People that may at one time have known the way of truth and have turned away from it. You know, Peter said something about that too in the second chapter of the second letter. It would have been better for them never to have known the way of truth than having known it to turn away from it. They're just like dogs returned to their vomit, and sows that were washed are now wallowing in the mire. And that's the way such people are. Whatever their agenda, such infidels, and they are infidels, for they do not believe in Jesus Christ and his teaching, the teaching of the apostles. But these infidels have tried to destroy men's faith in God's word and lead them away from what Paul called in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, the simplicity which is in Christ Jesus. And so it's necessary to attempt to explain these difficult verses and those that may seem to contradict, show how these passages can be understood in a way so that there is no contradiction, and that we can learn at least something about these difficult passages. Now, it's assumed that most of you, anyway, believe in the veracity of the scriptures. If you don't, there is no amount of evidence, there is no explanation that will force you to change your mind. God's not going to do it. As a matter of fact, the very opposite is true. When Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 9, he talked about the man of sin coming with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not a love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion or a strong working of error that they might believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And every false teacher that ever lived, every atheist, every infidel falls in this category. God's not going to force a person to believe his word, but he's not going to save those who choose not to believe it. On the other hand, if a person wants to believe the word is inerrant, he can understand these difficult passages, at least to a degree, and he can understand that there are no contradictions in God's word. Now, some of these scriptures may seem to be beyond explanation simply because of our ignorance of what actually occurred at that time. Of course, God doesn't expect us to understand every detail of everything that's recorded.